You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Negotiations with the International Seabed Authority recently came to a close, resulting in the failure of deep sea mining companies to get a green light to begin plundering the ocean. I spoke to a member of the Green Party and fisheries spokesperson, Eugenie Sage, about deep sea mining in Aotearoa and the International Seabed Authority, and started by asking who they were and what their role is in protecting our oceans.
The International Seabed Authority operates under the Convention on the Law of the Sea, and because Nauru in July 2021 signalled that it wanted to have seabed mining take part in international waters, it has triggered the provisions which require the International Seabed Authority to draw up environmental sort of regulations to govern seabed mining. New Zealand has one representative on the authority. Because of the Greens' pressure, alongside groups like Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, Greenpeace, Deep Sea Oceans Coalition and others, Minister Nanaia Mahuta noted that New Zealand's position is to support a moratorium on seabed mining in international waters until there is a robust regulatory regime in place. What people don't realise is that it is on a scale that's very, very different from mining on land. On public conservation land in Aotearoa, New Zealand, there are about 1,000 hectares that have got active minerals permits for mining on them. But what's been applied for at sea, like the Chatham Rock phosphate on the Chatham Rise, initially that was 820 square kilometres, and then they wanted to go up to 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Mining on that scale would have enormous impact. So to us, a robust regulatory regime means recognising that the oceans are in crisis and that we have other ways of providing the minerals we need, and we shouldn't be starting to exploit the seabed on this massive scale, because the benefits go to the small number of multinational companies and not to the public at general, and they jeopardise the health of ocean ecosystems. The seabirds, the fur seals, the New Zealand sea lions, the dolphins that are caught in trawl nets, on long lines and in set nets.
Aotearoa has supported, like you said, a moratorium on seabed mining in international waters, but Greenpeace Aotearoa urges them to take an even stronger position. Can you tell us what this position would look like?
So the Green Party, we think within the waters that are subject to Aotearoa New Zealand's jurisdiction, which is out to the 12 nautical mile limit, i.e. the territorial sea, and then beyond that, the exclusive economic zone, we think there should be a ban on seabed mining, because the other values of the oceans, as habitat for marine species, to support fishing, to provide us with kai. What we've had in New Zealand is a regime which is open to mining, and applications can come in under the EEZ legislation, and the burden of providing all of the evidence of the environmental and social harm to tikanga has been on iwi, like Ngāti Ruanui with the Taranaki bite application, and on environmental groups. So that has been an enormous commitment of time, energy and resources, because we don't have robust enough law. Debbie Nara-Wapaka had a members bill to prohibit seabed mining. Labor voted that down, the Greens voted for it. And now we have an inquiry into seabed mining being done by the Parliament's Environment Select Committee.
So it's really up to culture-centred movements and usually non-government-funded organisations to protest such issues.
The current regime puts the burden on iwi and hapu and environmental organisations. There was no government funding for those organisations except for the Taranaki Whanganui Conservation Board.
Mm-hmm.
We need a regime where we protect the seabed, we recognise how important it is in Aotearoa, and we don't have mining in our territorial waters or our EEZ. We commit volumes of electronic materials, metals to landfill every year. Government is taking steps to change that, but there's an enormous potential to recover precious metals from electronic and other ways through other ways.
What other ways would those be?
The government has invested funds in a computer e-cycling business, so it enables copper, other metals to be extracted from electronic equipment, and then those sold and picked up by other buyers. The products we manufacture, consume, and which often have far too short a life, we should be designing those so that they can be repaired more easily, but at the end of their life, we need to have systems in place for every product to ensure the materials used in their manufacture can be recovered and reused. And particularly in the electronics industry, that uses a lot of precious metals like gold.
The deep sea mining industry would like to start employing the use of mechanical mining robots on the sea floor.
The commercial fishing industry was a major opponent of the applications in New Zealand waters. On the Chatham Rise, for example, where they were proposing to mine phosphate, the seabed there is not bottom trawled.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Chatham Rise, you've got really important congregations of fish species. So the impacts of seabed mining are, because you would have, they say robots, it's like big bulldozers going across the seabed.
Okay.
Robots suggest they're quite small. Then the sediment is suctioned up, processed, and sent back down in a slurry. So the impacts are the major disturbance of the seabed, the destruction of seafloor habitats, the huge sediment plumes and the impact that that will have on fish species, marine mammals. There was a lot of evidence of that in the Taranaki Bight because of the importance of that area for marine mammals like the pygmy blue whale. And because, like commercial fishing, it's under the sea, so it's hard to monitor, and because it would happen over extensive areas, the environmental harm would be significant. So why start something that is so destructive and so much more extensive than mining on land? We need a precautionary approach given the impacts that the oceans have suffered under climate change, all the excess heat, all the excess carbon dioxide, and the impacts of overfishing, of plastic pollution. We need to give the oceans a helping hand, not start mining.
It's interesting that terminology such as robots, which, like you say, insinuates something quite small and harmless, is being used when the reality is quite different.
It's very different, yeah. And big suction dredges were being proposed with the Trans-Tasman Resources and a big ship on top in terms of processing vessel. So it is the way the industry is framing this. It is taking a very dismissive approach to the harm and underestimating the potential for severe impacts. The environmental sector and the Green Party are pushing to have an end to bottom trawling, commercial fishing vessels dragging huge nets with steel cables as weights across the sea floor because of the damage that that does. Scientific surveys have shown that that can take decades or even longer for benthic areas to recover. And when heavy nets are dragged across seamounts and crushed deep sea corals, well, that's permanent damage. So the big automated bulldozer type crawler equipment that the seabed mining companies are proposing are just as, if not more, damaging, particularly because of the way the sediment is all sucked up and then discharged back.
What actions has Aotearoa taken in 2023 to protect our oceans, if any, and what needs to happen right now?
The announcement by that New Zealand supports a moratorium on seabed mining in international waters was a big step forward. Previously, the position had been just sort of going along with what the ISA was doing. It has been hugely disappointing that over nearly 6 years, the Labor-led government has done nothing to improve the protection of the marine environment other than the threat management plan, which was done last term to better protect hectares of Maui dolphin.
Mm.
We have had some changes in the closure of the scallop fishery, but that was after the scallops had collapsed, and some changes in terms of snapper. But in terms of marine protection, there are no new areas that have been established. It shouldn't be that hard, and a ban on deep sea mining would be a major step forward.
How can listeners get involved in addressing the threat of deep sea mining?
They can get involved in an environmental organisation like Greenpeace Aotearoa or Kiwis Against Seabed Mining. There's on social media, there are generally petitions that people can support, and they can think about who they want to be in government in October after the election and what party they think will best protect people and planet. And the Green Party, with our strong support for a moratorium and stronger controls on seabed mining in New Zealand waters, is a party that cares about the oceans.
That was Eugenie Sage, member of the Green Party and fisheries spokesperson, speaking to me about the International Seabed Authority negotiations and deep sea mining in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.